Aboriginal people are being asked to take part in another consultation process, with the federal government announcing it wants to create a voice to government. But in 2017, consultations by Aboriginal people themselves produced the Uluru Statement from the Heart, calling for a voice to Parliament in the Constitution, since rejected by the government. So what's the intent of the Federal Minister for Aboriginal Australians, Ken Wyatt, with this plan? Well, he's appointed prominent Aboriginal academic Professor Marcia Langton and the Chancellor of the University of Canberra and former Race Discrimination Commissioner Tom Calmer to lead the process. I spoke to Tom Calmer a short time ago. Tom Calmer, thank you very much for speaking with us. What do you understand is the role of this new consultation process?
As a co-chair, Marcia Langton and myself, we will be leading a national senior advisory committee, and that will oversight the a couple of regional and a local co-design committees groups, and they will be developing up a model that will come up to us at the national level for consideration, and then we'll take it back to people and get their views on it. But, you know, in during that process as well, individuals are, you know, encouraged to share with us good practices that might exist by way of a voice.
And so the voice to government, as the minister is calling this, is this a completely separate idea, in your view, to the voice to Parliament and constitutional recognition?
Yeah, they are. And if we look at the Uluru Statement, and that call for a voice to the Parliament, that also talked about a makarata or treaty body, and also a truth and reconciliation mechanism. The voice is just the one part of what was presented in that statement. But, you know, we've got to recognise that the Uluru Statement, as powerful and as recent it is, comes on the backs of quite a number of other reports and mechanisms that are already in place across the nation. And so what our group is to do is to, you know, looking at those existing models and to bring them into a singular body that can advise at the first stage in government.
Some Aboriginal people today have been quite dismayed. They feel that this is the government somehow downgrading or circumventing what the Uluru Statement sought, particularly that voice to Parliament enshrined in the Constitution. Is that a legitimate concern?
I'm sure that's a concern by some, and I've heard that expressed as well, but equally I've heard expressed from other Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people that they weren't party to the Uluru Statement. And so we've got a whole lot of different thoughts out there.
So what would you say to Indigenous communities about this, particularly those who feel that they've already been consulted and they've been part of saying what they want, and that is a voice to Parliament enshrined in the Constitution?
Yeah, well, look, the Prime Minister has just said categorically that this process won't lead to a referendum, and that some mechanism will be developed by legislation. And so that's the parameters that we're working in. And that's, you know, something that may develop over time, but, you know, we can't foreshadow that. But at this stage, it's getting a body up that is able to legitimately present the views of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to the government of the day.
And when you say over time, do you mean that this process might somehow compel a change of mind by the federal government on the question of constitutionally enshrined voice?
Well, that could very well be the case. You know, that's something into the future that we don't know. We don't know what, you know, what parties in government and at any time, and whether the Prime Minister of the day is one who's willing to take it forward. You know, you take, for example, the national apology by Prime Minister Rudd. That had been suggested as far back as 1992 in the Bringing Them Home report, but nothing happened until 2008, you know, when a Prime Minister was minded to want to do it. So, you know, some of these processes, you know, take time. But, you know, in the intervening period, we had a whole range of other activities that, you know, did work.
And so do you expect that your work will focus on very pragmatic aspects of Indigenous voices speaking to government? The minister this morning on AM mentioned his commitment to hearing very, very pragmatic ideas about things like, you know, housing and health and, you know, the range of areas where there are gaps. Do you see it in those terms?
Look, I don't have any, and I think neither does my co-chair, have any preconceived views about what it will and won't do. And, you know, we're out there to help facilitate a process that develops a model. But, you know, one would expect that all of those issues that, you know, we talk about cultural water rights, we talk about cultural rights, we talk about housing, et cetera, that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been saying, you know, let us be party to the solutions and haven't really had a good hearing. You know, this voice has the potential to at least get it into the government, you know, because it is a report to government. But, you know, you've got to, you know, and people have got to just take stock of what currently exists, not only for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but for all Australians. And that is that we have no end of Senate reports, joint party reports, House of Reps reports, Productivity Commission reports, you know, the Australian National Audit Office reports, you know, the Social Justice Commissioner reports that all go into that, you know, place in Canberra. And then some see the light of day, most don't, and the recommendations aren't picked up. So, you know, it's a big task to come up with a model that's going to work. And so, you know, that's the challenge that we've got, is how do we put effect to some, you know, very good reports that we've seen in the past, or to be able to get the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people heard.
So are we talking about, I hesitate to use the word bureaucracy, but I hope you understand the sense in which I mean it, a new bureaucracy that enables Aboriginal voices in ways that they haven't been before?
It may or may not be a bureaucracy. A bureaucracy doesn't necessarily mean that that politicians will respond to it. And that's why that's the real challenge, is not only having a structure that is broadly accepted, and having a structure that people will listen to, on the day. And as I said, even Senate House of Reps internal government politicians' reports aren't always acted on. So, you know, I don't think an external bureaucracy in itself will make a difference. You know, that will just be the vehicle. But, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to try and formulate something that is going to be able to have a bit of teeth.
And do you feel that this is sort of a compromise option because the Prime Minister has ruled out a constitutionally enshrined voice to Parliament?
I don't think so. I think, this has always been something that Minister White said that he was keen on, since he took over, particularly his portfolio of Indigenous Australians, that he's keen to progress. And so, to be quite frank, I don't know if a constitutionally, you know, enshrined entity will in fact be able to, you know, make politicians listen to that good advice that's being provided. But we've got to look at a mechanism that's going to work and that people can feel that their voice is being heard.
Tom Calmer, thank you very much for speaking with PM.
Thank you, Linda.
Tom Calmer, the co-chair of the government's co-design process for an Indigenous voice to government.